Now, wait a minute. I counted five, was it five or six countries that you were visiting there?
I lost count.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Sri Lanka, India, Thailand, and Nepal.
Hold the mic.
Sri Lanka, India, Nepal, and Thailand, and then back to Sry Lanka.
Okay. And by the way, folks, he's coming to us directly today. Yesterday, you landed from?
Sry Lanka.
From Sri Lanka. Wow. So we see you've done a lot of traveling. It looks like you've been doing a lot of work there with the students and stuff. Tell us a little bit about what were you doing in all these different countries?
In Sri Lanka, I've been connecting with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Sri Lanka just to work with some of the leaders. The one picture there. Where we were at the wedding anniversary of Anton and Silverine Ratnaraja. That's a highlight because 25 years and longer ago, he was one of the young pastors that I was mentoring, and in fact, it began the pattern of mentoring that I talk about in my book later on, and so. That was a highlight. In fact, that mentoring included premarital counseling and church planting, ministry skills, and everything. So that's one of the reasons that was a highlight. Then another highlight is the teaching ministry mentoring in Thailand Pentecostal Seminary. That class was filled with a number of pastors and seminary students. And they really received the teaching well, and they started a ministry mentoring support group that they're going to be linking up with one another to see if they can roll this out into the churches in Thailand. So, and then the other highlight, of course, is the this past couple of years I've been to the church in Chennai, Christo and Sarah Emmanuel. I believe you also support are your missionaries. I've been there about four different times the past couple of years. I'm working with their leaders to help them in how they can become ministry mentors, training up leadership in their congregation.
Right on. So you've done a lot of traveling to these countries. What do you see some of the key challenges that these folks are going through in these countries?
One key challenge in some of the countries is the anti-persecution laws. Like, for instance, Nepal. Just a couple of weeks before we landed there, the government actually rolled out an anti-persecution law anti-conversion law. Forgive me, I'm about 75% today. It's an anti-conversion law that they rolled out where they. Where pastors and anyone who is caught converting or working to get someone to change their religion, they would be locked up. They would pay a big fine and possibly locked up for about 5 years. Nothing of that has actually happened. And our pastors there, they say, well, we're not converting them because. Only they can convert themselves. We just tell them the good news. Mm. But the law is there. It could be misinterpreted by those who want to do damage to the church. So that's a huge challenge. The other challenge is, especially in the area of equipping, Bible school students, people who want to be trained for ministry, they have a challenge with coming up with the funding. And so we've got a number of schools that we... help students with through the Timothy Fund, through the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Okay. So those would be a couple of the challenges.
Okay. So now, for those that don't know, of course, Rainer and Liz, there are a couple of our missionaries. Your main responsibility is training and equipping and so in these different Asian countries. But what they've done is they want to train and equip us as well. And now, a number of months ago, I had... some of our young adults come and talk to me and say to us that one of the biggest needs that they see for themselves is mentorship. right? And that's just one of the reasons I wanted Rainer to come and speak to us, of course, so we hear a little bit about your ministry, but also to talk about mentorship, because you've written a book, and I had the privilege of reading not the book itself, but your
pre-book. Draft, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
The draft, and it was phenomenal. So let's talk about this briefly, and then we'll talk a little bit about mentorship here. Tell me a little bit about why. What is it all about? Why should anybody even want to read this book?
Okay, ministry mentoring. Now, there's mentoring in general, but I'm using the term ministry mentoring because it's combined with discipleship. And so why would anyone want to be involved in ministry mentoring? I believe that in the church there's a lot of people who have life experience, Christian experience, and ministry experience. And not the kind that you get from Bible school. It's ministry. But they want to be able to pass their wisdom on to the next generation. But they often don't know how. And there's young people and others who are looking for how can they learn some of the stuff that they see other people doing. Mm-hmm. Well, I think the one way to bring them together is to have a mentoring relationship where they can learn about how to do ministry in a godly way.
So, what does that mean, mentorship? I mean, like, do I have to sit down with somebody and we sit on a blanket and cross our legs and eat dry crackers? Like, what's it all about?
Now, it's a learning relationship, okay? And it can start in one of three ways that I see. One way is that the mentee or the person who wants mentoring goes to someone and say, listen, I see you're doing this kind of ministry. Can you show me how? And so you begin to develop this relationship where a mentor might be showing the mentee how to do ministry. Well, that's what it's hands-on. It's almost like an apprenticeship. You watch how I do it, and then you do it, and I'll watch you, and carry on like this. Another way a mentoring relationship starts is the mentor sees someone who has some potential, and they say, you know what, I think you'd be good at doing this. Come along and watch me do it, and let's talk about it, see how it works. Another way is the ministry organization or the church says, you know, this guy, he knows how to do this, and we need this person over here to be trained. Why don't you guys get together and talk about how you can... So it's not sitting down on a blanket, crossing your legs.
Eating dry crackers.
Yeah, neither is it necessarily in an office, although that might be involved, in office where you talk about stuff. But it's actually doing ministry together and talking about it, the way Jesus did it with his disciples.
So you're saying it is a biblical thing? Like,
absolutely. Much of my book, the first part of the book, is about the biblical foundations for ministry mentoring. It's in the Old Testament. Moses mentored Joshua. Elijah mentored Elisha. Naomi mentored Ruth. It's all throughout the Bible.
Okay.
And Jesus, of course, mentored his disciples. Paul mentored Timothy. Any more examples you need?
That's a good start.
Yeah.
That's a good start. So we're sitting here today and we're thinking, okay, you know what? I sure could use a mentor. Man, it would be great. But how in the world am I going to go around doing that? And on the flip side, there's somebody saying, man, I got lots of wisdom. But man, if I start talking to people or say, hey, look, you need to be mentored, and it may be awkward to do that. So how do we do that? Like, how do we start?
Well, I think for if you want to be mentored, let's start with that one. If you want to be mentored, I think you want to, first of all, pray and ask the Lord to lead you to somebody who could actually add value to your life and ministry. And begin to have your eyes open for someone that you can trust, and then just knock on their door. You know, let's have a coffee. Let's talk about. You know, I'd like to learn some things from you. How can do you have time to spend? You know, over the next a few months or year, from time to time, we can talk about how to do this. I want to learn some things from you. In fact, I think that's the best way, is when the mentee, which I'm calling the person being mentored, the mentee actually goes after, like Elisha went after Elijah for the double portion. So when the mentee goes after the mentor and then begins to talk about, and so it's just, you know, just in, begin to begin the relationship. On the other hand, the person, if the relationship starts with a mentor wanting to find someone to maybe fill their shoes in ministry, or, you know, because you're not going to live forever, or you might be planning to move on into other areas, but you need someone to do what you're doing. So you find someone who might have some potential, and, you know, you don't say, I want to mentor you. Actually, I think a rule of thumb would be, don't call yourself someone's mentor until they called you their mentor first. But say, you know what, you have some potentials. Maybe we can, maybe I can show you how to do some of these things. Would you be interested? You don't have to use the label mentoring for it to be mentoring, but it's relationship. Relationship is the key. So you start with the relationships, which I would like to, I sometimes call learning relationship. Yeah. And it doesn't matter how it starts, but it's, you know, getting the ball rolling is by talking.
Right. So you're following me here, folks, right? We're still engaged here. So here's the thing. I don't know about you folks, but I have gone to people in the past and said, man, I need to learn. Like, I got lots to learn, right? And what I'm finding is that people don't necessarily have the time or energy. What do I do? Rainer, help me. I'm dying here. What do we do when you go to somebody and they say, well, you know, how can we approach it? Or what should you do when you are approached and you're thinking, okay, now I'm stuck. You got it. You're stuck with me for the next 20 years because I'm messed up. I need a lot of help. Mm-hmm. So you're sitting there, you're going, this is going to be a long-term thing. How do we deal with that from both sides?
Okay, for one thing, I don't think we need to view it as a long-term thing. Let me just come at it from another way. I had the same thing happen to people. People would come to me and say, would you mentor me? And sometimes I knew what to do, sometimes I didn't know what to do. And it's because often I didn't know what to do, that's why I felt I wanted to study this a little bit more and to provide help. So if somebody comes up to you and asks you, I would like to be mentored, the next question is, what do you want to learn?
That's good.
What do you want to learn? So the focus is on the learning. But the learning happens within a relationship. So there's the relational part. You develop the relationship, the trust, and then the focus, what do you want to learn? And there might be a whole series of things, but you work on a few at a time. And I think it's a good idea for people to have mentoring agreements. And say, okay, let's meet for a year. Let's meet for 18 months. Let's meet once a week. Or let's meet once a month, you know, depending on the need, depending on the time. So time is one of the biggest issues in a mentoring relationship, because most of us don't feel we have enough.
Yeah.
And so to take care of that, what I'm calling for when I speak to pastors, make sure that a part of your ministry portfolio includes time for mentoring. Mentoring shouldn't just be something you tack on. You include it as part of who you are as a minister, because you are going to die one day.
No. I'm going to live forever. Hallelujah. They can't get rid of me that fast.
Yeah. Well, maybe they can't, but there's other pastors who are going to die. I'm going to die
one
day.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so you need to transfer what God has given you mm-hmm. to someone else.
Yeah, and I think that's not just pastoral.
Yeah.
It's others.
Absolutely. In any ministry, you know. Mm. Like board members should be mentoring potential future board members.
Yeah, that's good.
Ministry leaders, you know, Sunday school teachers, or they need to be mentoring others. Mm-hmm. You know, say, come watch me do it, and then you do it while I watch you, and then let's talk about it. You know, those kinds of things. It's like the old style apprenticeship, Wes. Mm-hmm. You know, I think your dad was a carpenter.
Yes.
So he would know about that.
For sure, for sure. Yeah. So if you want to be mentored for fishing, I mean, I am.
There you go.
I might be able to be torn away from here for a bit. So tell me the difference between disciple making and ministry mentoring. Is there a difference between that?
There's a lot of similarities. I like to define it. I like to arrange things in boxes because that's how I'm bent. So discipleship is what happens when you lead someone to Christ and teach them how to be a godly person. So I view that more as a character development aspect. But the moment somebody begins to say, you know, I'd like to help in church. I'd like to be involved in some kind of ministry. What can I do? That's when ministry mentoring kicks in. Yeah. But discipleship continues. Mm-hmm. You never graduate from being a disciple. You're always a disciple.
Right on. And see, folks, that's why partnership is so important to me, because here's the thing. Some of you can maybe do it by yourself, but I can't, right? We all need each other to work together, and I think that's part of the whole process. How do we do this thing properly? How can we encourage others to learn effectively? So ministry and mentoring, is it important? Why would you say it's so important?
Well, it's important for two reasons, at least. There may be other reasons, but two that come to mind. Number one, to build a team of ministry, teaching other people how to do different things that need to be done in ministry. And secondly, is the succession planning. Mm-hmm. I think a good strategy for any church would be every position that anyone has, they need to have somebody who they are mentoring to take their place on the day they're sick or on the day that they're going to move on to something else.
Yeah. We see the challenge with that, folks, quite honestly. When we have issues with children's ministry or someplace else where we have no replacement, right? And then all of a sudden we're stuck, right? So we need to have people involved in these different areas of ministry. Right, Pastor Lisa? You remember that as well. So we need that involvement. So there has to be a willingness to do it. Tell me something, Rainer. When people are not willing to be mentored, what's some of the dangers of that?
A lot of wastage of time is the main one. I think what I encourage pastors and leaders, ministry leaders, if you're going to mentor someone, the first qualification is willingness to be mentored. And if they don't want to take the time, if they don't want to learn from you, probably you're going to be wasting your time. Mm. So rather find someone who is maybe less talented but willing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Talent is not enough. Mm-hmm. Willingness is the number one thing.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Sometimes talent can be a hindrance because we think we're better because we know it, right?
Yeah.
We all need that. Other key components of mentorship, of the mentorship model, what do you see?
Well, okay, I mentioned already it's a learning relationship. Mm-hmm. The mentor guides, the mentee drives the relationship. So this is not like a classroom where the teacher tell students, you have to learn this, it's going to be on the exam. Not like that. In this case, the mentee comes to the mentor and says, I want to learn this. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so the mentor guides them to the places where they can get that knowledge or they can teach themselves. But the learner, the mentee, drives that relationship. So that's an important component. Another important component is the dependence on the Holy Spirit.
It's always a good thing.
Because ministry mentoring, and that's why I like to distinguish ministry mentoring from other kinds of mentoring, is it's about the kingdom of God. So the mentor always asks the question in relationship to the mentee, what is the best, God's best for this mentee? Mm-hmm. What is the best for the kingdom of God? And Lord, how do you want me to invest in this mentee? What is my role? And so you're asking the Lord, you're asking the Holy Spirit how to carry this forward. And then the other thing is, I'm a strong believer in that dual, the dual components of mentoring, character and competence. So you need character, and that's the, you know, Christian character that you do. That's the discipleship part. And then there's the competence. That's the ministry skills development part. And that could be anything. It could be teaching somebody how to pray. Could be teaching them how to be a good leader. Teaching them how to preach. You know, any of those things that we do in ministry. How to lead a small group. Mm. And so there's that. But you never do that without the character component.
Right on. Right on. So folks, if you are here today and you're sitting there going, you know, I really could use a mentor in some way, in some place in my life, I think it would be good for you to let us know that. If you are here today and you said, you know what, I would love to be a mentor, not just a mentee, like, could you let us know that? Because it would be very good to start putting people together. Again, I started off by saying, Our young adults and our youth are they're crying out for this stuff, right? And so we need to put the right people in place. We're not here to sell a book, though we want to sell a book. Okay, if you want this book, like I said, I've read it. It's very, very well done. They're in the back. Anything you can mention from here that our folks could, how this could be useful in a mentorship relationship.
Well, I think if you want to be a mentor and you're unsure how to begin, how to start, I do recommend the book for that purpose. Not because I need to sell it, but because it's a, you know, or find another book. But find, so you may have a ministry skill and you may be very good at your ministry, but you need, if you're going to teach someone else, you need to have another skill. You need to be skilled at mentoring. Mm. You know, there's another level of skill that you know very much like and I use the illustration in the book. If you're a carpenter, you may be a very good carpenter, but then in order to sell your skill to others, you need to add another level of skill, and that's maybe some administration and business skills. So that's not part of carpentering, but it's part of getting the word out. So in the same way, you may have a ministry skill that you're very good at. So I would encourage everyone who has a good ministry skill, is competent in the ministry, learn also how to transfer that to someone else. Mm. And that's what this would be about. Learning the ministry, the mentoring skills, and there's a lot of things that are involved. It's not rocket science. Some of us do it naturally, by the way. Some of you don't even need a book like this. But if you're unsure, you need to either get some training or to at least reflect on how you're going to do it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So just in closing, Rainer, you've got a bunch of people here sitting here listening to you. If you could give some word of encouragement. You just came back from overseas. God, I'm sure, has done some crazy things overseas. You saw some wonderful stuff. Encouragement to the church at SPA. What would you impart to us?
God always provides what we need. Can I close with a funny story?
Please.
It's not entirely related to mentoring, but I think it'll encourage them.
Okay.
My wife and I, Liz, we connect quite often when I'm overseas and she's here, and often she's able to come with me, but more often she's here at home. And so we connect by FaceTime or Skype. quite a lot. And so on one of these, and you know, there's ups and downs in ministry. There are, we have our moments of you know, like the John the Baptist had, you know, are we really in the right game here? Are we doing the right thing? And so we were asking this question just, you know, in a moment of, you know, struggling. And then, you know, we came to the conclusion, yes, I think we are doing what we're supposed to be doing. And so we prayed. And I said, Lord, please show us a sign. Okay, so the next Sunday morning, I'm preaching at Holy Trinity Church in Colombo, the picture you saw. And in fact, that was that Sunday. And I got into an Uber cab to get there, and the cab was a little bit late. And so I was rushing in into the church. And before the church service, they have a prayer group as well, just like you have here. But the prayer room is in a doorway right over here on the podium. I come in here up the stairs. Now, in the Colombo churches, many of the churches, you take off your shoes when you get on this holy ground, so to speak.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Okay. And so I took my shoes off and started running, half running, maybe a little too much in a hurry. And I stubbed my toe on something, and I began to fall. There's already several hundred people there, and they're watching this.
This is not going to end good, Rainer. I can just see it.
What?
It's not going to end good.
No. It will end good.
It will.
Yeah, good. It will end good. And so in order to save myself from falling, I pick up speed.
Well, that's always wise.
Yeah. And so, but I'm hoping that the door of the prayer room is going to hold me. So I go crashing into the door with my arm like this. Well, the door doesn't hold. So I crashed on my knees and hands and knees and face into the middle of a prayer meeting.
Hallelujah.
If you're going to fall into a prayer
Amen,
meeting.
Amen, brother. Yeah. And they're going, there's a righteous brother right there.
Yeah. There we go. So they didn't know what hit them. I didn't know what hit me, but anyway, I was on my hands and knees in the middle of a prayer meeting suddenly. And they were very concerned. Pastor, are you okay? You know, they thought I had broken some bones because it was quite the crash. So they sat me down on a chair, and I was never prayed for. If there were any broken bones, they were gone at the end of that prayer. And so I just, you know, they were rubbing my knees and my elbows, and I think they were just feeling if there was any broken bones. But they were praying, and I was never prayed for like that before or since. And so they sat me down and said, you know, we'll carry on with service. You just rest here. And they had someone in there. One of the young men says, you know, I think the devil was trying to get you because you probably have an important message for us today. And I said, that could very well be. Okay. Anyway, I sat down with a young man in the room, and we were just chatting. And I said, you know, why am I sitting here? The church has started. Let me get up. And so I got up, went out, and sat. They sat on the podium, and I sat down. And so I'm sitting there, and service is going on. And all of a sudden, I feel a light breeze on the back of my leg.
Oh, no.
And so I said to the pastor next to me, I said, you know, I think I split my pants. And he says, yes, I know. Says, just don't turn your back to the congregation. And so anyway, the pastor, I could understand a little bit of what he was saying to the congregation. I understand a little bit of Sinhalese. He was telling them, thankful that Pastor Rainer didn't hurt himself and the angels of the Lord were guarding him and so on. And, you know, we're trying to make light of this thing. And so then I got up to preach, and I said, yeah, if you're going to fall into a prayer meeting. And people laughed and so on. Then I preached, but in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, Lord, what? Was, you know, this is like when things like that happen, I always have a question. Lord, what are you saying? Because it's unusual. When unusual things happen, you've got to ask that question. And I asked that question. I said, Lord, what's going on? What's happening here? What are we supposed to learn from this? Are they supposed to fix their podium so they don't have stuff sticking out that you can trip over? Or what are we supposed to learn here? And you know, I'm preaching, but this is going on in the back of my head. Then I finish the service, finish my sermon, and I back up to the to my chair and sit down, and I'm thinking, how am I going to get out of this without with my dignity intact? And so so then another pastor nudges me, says, Pastor Rainer, will you please come into the office here? So I went in the office, and in the office, Pastor Wes, there's a huge box full of dress pants.
Hallelujah.
And he says, pick one that fits. I was going to wear it today, but it didn't match my jacket. But anyway, so I put it on, threw the other one. The other one was totally ripped. And then I said to Pastor Jabba Money, I said, I'd like to buy these pants. He says, no, Pastor. He says, before, listen to these words. This is what he told me. Before you have needed it, God has provided.
Amen.
And he told me, he says, a few weeks ago, a lady came and brought a box of pants, trousers, and said, Pastor, use these however you can. And none of them fit him. He's much thinner than I am. And so he said, you can't pay for these. The Lord has knew that you were going to need them today. So,
hallelujah.
And so suddenly, I realized what it was about. The Lord was giving me the sign, giving us the sign that we had prayed for. And it has been a huge encouragement. Before we have needed it, God has provided. And I believe that can apply to anyone.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's good. That's good. I think that's a mentoring moment right there, folks. Before you need it, God knows. God knows. Pastor Rainer, we want to thank you. We're going to ask you to pray in just a minute, because I think that there are people here that need to know that God will provide for them as well. And I think there are some here that need not just pair of pants, whatever that is for you, some practical stuff, but maybe just somebody to come alongside of them. So can I ask you to pray
that
God would minister there?
Father, we do thank you that you are a God who provides. Mm-hmm. Lord, you provide for our physical needs. You provide for our spiritual needs. And Lord, you also provide for our relational needs. Mm-hmm. Lord, there's people here in this room who have been asking, who can help me get through what I'm getting through right now? Mm-hmm. They've been asking, who can help me so that I can be the person that God has called me to be? Mm-hmm. Lord, you have people in place already who are able to work with the people who are asking these questions. I pray, Lord, that you would call from this congregation those who should be mentoring.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that you would give them the encouragement. Lord, there may be some here who are saying, who am I? How can I mentor anyone? What do I know? Lord, you have given them a rich deposit within their spirits. You have given them a life of experience. They have learned lessons that need to be passed on to the next generation. Lord, I pray that you would just release those to be mentors for those who need to be mentored. Lord, I pray for those who are looking for mentors that you would provide. Lord, I pray that you would give those who want to be mentored, give them teachable and willing spirits, Lord. Lord, as we together submit to you, Lord, I pray that you would continue to raise up people in this church and in other churches who would be mentors to others. Lord, and also for the physical needs. Lord, there may be those who are looking for financial provision. There are those looking for jobs. And Lord, you already have the provision in place. Mm-hmm. Just as you said to Abraham. A lamb has already been provided.
Right on. Yes.
The Lord has prepared for himself a lamb, and then Jesus came.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, you have all things prepared for us. Help us, Lord, that as we know this, to go forward in confidence, having our eyes open to see the provision that you have, whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual or relational. Lord, I pray that you would bless Surrey Pentecostal Assembly. Bless the pastors. Bless the leadership. Lord, bless every ministry that is taking place in this household. We thank you, Lord, for them. Continue to bless them in every way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you. Folks, just in closing, this is Mission Sunday, and we do want to highlight, thank you, Pastor Rayner, for coming. He's one of our missionaries. We sponsor 11 different mission organizations. One of the areas that we are working at right now, we were there yesterday morning, was Cedar Gardens. And we're going to show you a video on what we're doing there. But can I just make a couple of quick comments? First of all, if you are interested, we do need help there. Please, please take those sheets from the back there. It's simple stuff. A stick of deodorant, it's going to cost you $1 at the dollar store or whatever, right? Just if you can help with that, it means a lot. Secondly, Radhika, where are you? You're in the house? Yesterday, Radhika and Angie, who's sitting right up front here, went out onto the streets. We have a tent city here in Surrey, okay? And we have I'm not sure how many tents are there, but I heard about 100 people. And a lot of them are young adults and young people. And they went out yesterday and they served soup. Good on ya. I'm sure they could use help with that as well. But I want to just show you what we're doing here at Cedar Gardens. Some of you have heard a lot about it. You don't know anything about it. Let me give you a glimpse on it, and then we're going to take up our offering after that, after we've seen the video. Go for it.